The Holy Gospel today comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid that last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." This is the gospel of the Lord. So you ever come upon a situation, let's say at a grocery store or even at church, where there's a conversation going, but you catch the middle of it? You know, there's just some intensity like, "Ooh, what happened here? What's going on?" That's kind of where we are in this moment right here. We're in the season of Epiphany and we're in the year of Matthew. So we get right in the middle of this big teaching of Jesus that started with the Beatitudes, and then there was salt and light, and now there's these, "You've heard it said, but I tell you." And there's actually, I was almost going to add it, but I figured, you know, adultery, divorce, murder, you know, that's probably plenty to start with. But there's a little bit more that I want to just tell you about. I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to say that besides those topics, the next things he talks about right after this, because next Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday, and then we move right into Lent. So in the season of Epiphany, we don't always get, depending on where Easter sits, we don't always get more Matthew. So I just wanted to give you the end of what Jesus was talking about here, because after he says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no," it gets easier. "You've heard it said, 'Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth.' But I tell you, do not resist an evildoer. If they strike you, give them the other tree. If they take your cloak, take your other. Give to those who beg. Don't refuse to anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say, 'Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray and do things like, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.'" That's how this section ends. "Of you've heard it said, but I say to you, be perfect." Now, it's not perfection like we think. Perfection. That wedding cake was just perfect. That's not what we're talking about. Because another way to talk about perfect is to be complete or to be mature, to do God's will, to love like God loves. And how God loves, like when Jesus talks in Matthew about the rain falling on the righteous and the unrighteous. God has no particularity. God's grace is for everyone. God's love is for everyone. The rain falls on everyone. And that's what it means to be perfect. So back to this first section, because that's the one I want to focus on. But I say to you, if you are angry with your Adelphi, which can either mean literally your brother or your neighbor, that's where you might be liable to judgment. This word judgment is crisis. When you're angry with someone, crisis ensues. When you put your angry glasses on, that's all you can see. Everything looks angry. Everything
looks red.
Take a look through that red lens there. Anger does that. And anger leads to things like murder. And Jesus is really concerned about this. Because when two individuals, let's suppose this will never happen, but let's suppose Brent and I were, or let's say I was angry with Brent, because I know Brent would never be angry with me. But and we just couldn't work things out. And we just couldn't figure it out. And it's like, oh, well, Brent, you know, well, he supports that one politician. So, oh, that just makes me so angry. And he really likes trees. Well, that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. But it's really that politician. I can't believe he supports that politician. Just drives me crazy, that Brent. And Jesus says, this is so bad and so foundational, because when you have angry members in a family, it destroys the whole system. That family system, if you're angry, dinners are not very fun. If you're angry in a church with someone else, nobody wants to be a part of that. Nobody likes to see that. You want to smooth it out. You want to reconcile. And that's what Jesus is after here, because when two people are angry in a community, the whole community is stymied. It's like a thorn in the side. It's like a bad apple in the barrel. Makes the barrel bad. Jesus insists on this so much that when the disciples ask him, hey, what should we pray about? What's the central thing in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us so that we forgive others. We've got to get through that anger, or the community can't happen. We can't truly be the people of God. One of the things in the Gospel of Matthew, I when I went down and I didn't get to watch Grace play, so I was coming back up, I decided to listen to the Gospel of Matthew. What's going on with Jesus in this Gospel? So last night, yesterday, I listened through the whole Gospel of Matthew. And one of the things he points to about neighbors, besides being reconciled with our neighbor, whether that's literally our brother or sister within our family, or our family of God, he says, besides that reconciliation that you must work out, here's what I want you to think about. Here's a sign of how you're doing. How are you taking care of the poor? And this gospel is filled with stuff about taking care of the poor. That's all Jesus focuses on. He heals, he teaches, and brings good news to the poor. Now, if you have someone within your midst who's grumpy or angry, and you're dealing with that, you can't deal with the thing that we're called to do. Go and preach good news, especially to the poor. And if you recall, this is the gospel with that famous scene where Jesus, in the end, right before he's getting ready to, while he's in Jerusalem, he says, there's going to be a time where We're all going to be judged. Because crisis means judgment, that word judgment. And during Jesus' time, there was a court system of 23 people, that crisis court, that judgment court. And if you were found guilty, well, you're either going to be strangled or you're going to be beheaded. So this is serious business Jesus is talking about. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take care of the least of these. And then he gives that scene at the end of the gospel. The goats and the sheep. Remember that story? And he says, there's going to be some who go one way, and there's going to be some who go the other way. Well, what do you mean? Well, when I was thirsty, and when I was hungry, and when I was sick, and when I was in prison, you helped me. You fed me. You gave me something to drink. You visited me. You cared for me. Well, what do you mean, Jesus? I just did what I was supposed to do. Yeah, good job. You're going this way. Well, I didn't know that was you. Well, that's what you're called to do. To love your neighbor and especially the poor. This gospel is very challenging and very clear in that direction. Your neighbor is the love target. And especially those who are most vulnerable. That's what it means to love like God, not to show partiality. Love God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're angry with your neighbor, you got to take those angry glasses off. That's what forgiveness is. That's why forgiveness is mentioned over and over. And forgiveness is binding. When you're forgiven, it's done. It's good. It's complete. If you're carrying angry glasses about yourself and you can't forgive yourself, remember your baptism. That's what we do at the beginning of the service. Your sins are forgiven. That's God's plan for you this moment. We have angry glasses. We can't love like God wants us to love. We can't be perfect. We can't incarnate love until we take them off and start loving. And sometimes loving means offering forgiveness to others. That's often the first step. So when that person who is the person who falls a politician you don't like, or when that person is someone who has a different scent than you, or if that person is someone who has less income than you, or if that person is someone who has greater income than you, whoever that person is that you have anger with, that you struggle with, take off the glasses. Work on this forgiveness, reconciliation. Because that's what leads to peace. I have a challenge. And I don't know, you know, it's been a while since I've talked about challenges. But I have a challenge that some information I got. I'm having lunch with my friend Mike Jones, who's the director of North Thurston Education Foundation, and their job is to remove barriers in our school district. And they do that mostly with vulnerable students, the most vulnerable, those who are struggling with housing, those who are lost the least, the ones who are thirsty, the ones who are hungry, the ones who are hurting, the little ones, all of the people that Jesus points to. That we should love. So I'm talking with Mike and at lunch, and he says, hey, we just got $50,000. It's like, whoa, well, that's pretty cool. How'd you get that? Well, it's from a nonprofit called Help Me Move In. I think I have that name right. And what they do is they give funds to people who are about to be evicted, or just need an extra something.
Now, last year, the Northwestern Education Foundation gave funds to 37 families. So, and at least as of last year, when I had heard last, those families are not experiencing homelessness because of that little gap. Now, will that work in a long time for everybody because they struggle? Who knows? But it did help those 37 families. So as I'm talking with Mike, he says, yeah, so they have $17,000 to give out that they still live. I'm trying to find people to give this money. The only caveat, here's the challenge. The only caveat is you just have to match it. So if you have $17,000, this organization will give you $17,000. And you can do exactly what Jesus says in this gospel. Love your neighbor, and especially those who are vulnerable. Now, we do that at St. Mark. You just heard some funds for the St. Mark neighbors. What was the, how much was that? 20? I can't remember. $2,500 for St. Mark neighbors. And we have a budgeted item for that too, because we do that. We help people, our neighbor. We love them as ourselves, as best we can. And my goal has always been, in every church I've been in, we will give whatever people need that ask of us. Now, we're going to have conversations, you know, and it's not just going to be we'll give. That's not how giving works, because you want to talk with folks about that. But we have this opportunity for 17K that's just sitting there to help 20 families, or if we doubled that, 30 families. That's what we're called to do. Could we do that? Could we divert some of the Henschel funds? We had this big process of looking at what we would do with the funds that a generous family gave of $150,000. We give $20,000 away and we have some priorities. Maybe that's a matching place. Maybe there's something else. That's the challenge. You know, God gives us gifts. God gives us everything we need to be perfect, to be mature, to be like God, showing no partiality, to loving our neighbor as ourselves, and especially those who are vulnerable. I only bring this up because, well, this gift came to me, and it's an opportunity. And St. Mark seems like a pretty cool community. Can we do this? How should we do this? I don't know. I'll leave that to us to figure out. Or not. Because God will keep working through us whether we use this gift or someone else does. Because there is always forgiveness for when we don't hit the mark. But loving your neighbor, that's the goal. That's the gospel. And especially those who are vulnerable. That's what we're called to do. And it begins with us taking off anything that gets in the way of that love. And going. That's it. Go. Jesus says, go. Give my grace away. Amen.